May the words of my mouth
and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, welcome to you all this morning on the feast of Hilary of Poitiers, I believe is the correct pronunciation. 7 years of French will get you that at least. But Hilary was an interesting guy, as many of these church fathers, they would call him, as they're known, are, because we don't really know a lot about who he was, but we have surviving manuscripts that he wrote, and we know who he fought against. So it's a little bit like historical speculation, which operates obviously today, that you know a lot about someone by who their enemies were, and depending on which surviving artifacts or relics of their life remain, that's the picture we have. So the picture we have of Hilary is one who was one of the initial defenders of the doctrine of the Trinity, which again is during the Epiphany season, is one of the things that we celebrate, because we have, as we've said, gone through the preparation for the birth of Jesus. We have celebrated his birth, and now we are looking towards Pentecost, actually, where the Spirit is revealed. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's sort of exciting church things for those of us who are so inclined. But the two things about Hilary that I think, just for a brief moment, I'd like to talk about is that his opponents were people known as the Arians by their leader Arius. So it's another one of these really clever named historical phenomenons. But he, Arianism essentially argued that Jesus, I mean, there's many different varieties of it, and it's a complicated thing, but essentially it said Jesus was not God. Jesus may have been divine. There were different levels of it, but Jesus may have been almost God, anyway, from almost God to completely not God. But at the end of the day, the common thread was that he, in fact, was not God incarnate. He was perhaps a really perfect person that had the Spirit of God. He perhaps was the chief prophet of God. He was all of these things. And actually, interestingly enough, you can see this Christian heresy actually spawned a number of world religions that we see today. I mean, Islam notwithstanding. I mean, this is anathema to the concept of Allah in Islam, that God would be become a human, be crucified. I mean, the Simon of Cyrene in the Passion narrative, the one who takes Jesus' cross, is in many understandings of Islam is known to have been the one who actually substituted himself for Jesus. Because Jesus, as a prophet, as a holy person, could not, in fact, have withstood or undergone this, this humiliation, this travesty, this brutality of the cross. But then you have, of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses. You have Mormons. I mean, you have any number of things. And actually, it's interesting. I'm sure a book's been written, but you could go through the different Arian arguments back in 300 A.D. And you probably could see a religious correlation to something. Somebody's preaching something that someone else was preaching 1800 years ago or whatever. So all that being said is that that Hilary had a big problem with this, evidently, because he wrote his major work, his De Trinitatis, the Trinity, and in it he lays out his arguments for the necessity and the reality of Jesus being God himself. And one of the interesting things that he describes in this treaty, I haven't read it, but it's on the list, I promise you, but I have it on good authority, that one of the things that he describes is his, what we would now say, his conversion experience, or his the way that he understood in his expression, going from the general revelation of, in his words again, the pagan religious revelation to the specific revelation of God in Christ. And this is really important to him, apparently, because it takes up the whole entire first section of his book was this account of how he came from apparently some sort of a thoughtful sort of God-interested person who was sort of generally interested in God, to one who spent the rest of his life specifically interested in God, in God in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. And so I think that these two things are connected. This need for the Trinity, this argument that Jesus was in fact God and human, and this importance of his sort of conversion. And I think there's an importance conversion convergence there that I will explain briefly. There's a lot of debate today, and you probably have seen it, and it's nothing new, but it's about how do people become faithful in one sense, and then particularly within Christianity, how do people become Christians, and why? What theologians would call this the ordo salutis, so the order of salvation. Like, how does this work? How do people come, like Hillary described, from a general sense of whatever to a specific confession of Christ? And this is a big question. And there's sociologists who have arguments, and there's, of course, there's, as with everything, there's materialists who say it's just money, you know, at some level, it's all about money. And then there's the sort of idealists who say, no, it's all because it's a sense of the will. And then there's the spiritualists who say it's all this conversion. And of course, with everything, there's a convergence of these three things. But at a base level, there are two basically camps. One is the sort of the rational intellectualist camp, which says people are presented with, Christianity and like a buffet line. People are presented with the religions of the world, and people walk up and down, and they have a little of this, have a little of this, and ultimately they come to one that sort of fills them the most, and they buy an entire cake. You know, it's like these little pinafore cakes, and there's a big cake in the back, and like whichever one you like, ultimately you buy the whole cake. So that's one aspect. And the other aspect of it is this emotional, sort of experiential understanding of it, which is that, I don't know what I'm eating, I don't know what these cakes are. I'm not even sure I'm eating cake, but all of a sudden, something I just ate changed my life forever, and that's what I'm sticking with the whole time. And so we have these two ways. One says that we choose these things rationally, and the other says that we basically are driven by our passions. And again, this is nothing specific to Christianity, and it can be very interestingly seen in just about every really cool philosopher throughout the history of the world. And so, nevertheless, this idea says something about Christianity. Because there's an adage within Christianity that what gets you in the door will keep you there. So if it is this idea that you choose Christianity, you choose Christ because this is the one that makes the most sense, well, invariably you will run up against something that doesn't make as much sense. And if that's the reason you would come into the door, then well, you may not stay. Or you might stay, but you keep moving further and further back. You certainly don't come on Wednesdays. And you end up becoming an agnostic of some sort. And this is basically where a lot of people are today, who grew up with a certain rationalist approach. Jesus will make your life better. Jesus will change the world. Jesus will clean all of the carbon gases out of the environment, the ozone layer. I mean, anything you want. Whatever you need to have happen, Jesus will do it. And invariably, Jesus does not do exactly what you wanted to have happen, so we have this crisis of faith, and there you go. People move out the back, people start going to sweat lodges, people start taking drugs or continue to take drugs, whatever the case may be, and they lose faith. So that's one aspect. And the other aspect is just the flip side of the same coin, this emotional one. Christianity will keep you from being depressed. Christianity will heal all of your physical, spiritual, and mental angst. Christianity will do any number of these things. And again, this is what gets people in the door. And invariably, we run up against life. and life doesn't work the way that we want it to. Christianity can leave us cold if that's what we wanted it to be. Now, this is why this incarnation is so important, because I believe that the insight that Hillary was given is that Jesus had to be God. Jesus had to become a person because the message of salvation is not that God fixes our problems or that he offers the best way out or that he gives any number of attributes to us, but that in fact he comes and brings us who live in this life out of death and into life. And the only way that could have happened is not by sending a prophet who told us things, or by sending a magician who showed us things, not even a healer, although he did heal, but someone who actually had to live as a human and take us into himself so that by his resurrection we could be redeemed. And this sounds abstract, of course, but it's not. Because what that has done since the beginning of its proclamation has birthed in people hope and faith and trust. And these things, these intangible yet nevertheless unshakable things, are what in fact constitute life, freedom, not slavery to whatever it is that got you in the door. I mean, the Apostle Paul talks about this in terms of law and gospel, which basically means that we whatever got you in the door, whatever your needs were, whatever this you were a slave to. But the gospel says that this need has been met, not in a halfway, like Arius wanted to say, but in the whole way. And out of this met need, we live, and we live now with all of the uncertainties that life brings. Now we live with the things that we never would have come into the door in the first place. Had someone told you, had someone said, join the church and none of your questions will be answered. have faith in Jesus and you still will die. Your sister may never talk to you. Your marriage may still dissolve. I mean, these are things no one would ever join. Nevertheless, it's in the midst of these things that we continue to find hope in Christ. And that's the message of the incarnation. That's the message of the gospel. And that's the one that Hillary obviously had an insight on, because he would never let Arius say, God is not involved in life. Because if God had not become fully human, then he has no idea what it means to be me. He has no idea what it means to face death. He has no idea what it means to be rejected, to have long unfulfilled longings, to have fear and pain and the vicissitudes of life. So you cannot take that away from me, Hillary told Arius. And thank God that he didn't. Amen.